How many students are there here? Is it 80,000, 100,000 that are coming back to Tallahassee? Oh, you guys. Okay, yeah. Give yourself a hand. Yeah, go ahead. We're glad you're here. But it's close to 100,000 students, isn't it, that descend on Tallahassee, something like that? But anyway, 140,000. 20. Wow. The biggest freshman class in history. Wow. I tell you what, this is a good time to buy a Dunkin' Donuts franchise if you're. And anyway, some people say don't do that. Anyway, we're going to be talking about prayer, biblical prayer, and what we're calling is what we should pray for. Now, I have taken the creative leisure to change the notes around a little bit because I really felt like in prayer that God wanted me to attack this thing in a little different angle. Instead of just doing a what we should pray for and how things should pray, I want to talk about the dynamics of prayer and how prayer impacts you and I as Christians and how it should impact people who come in our sphere of influence. And we're going to be talking about a prayer list, so we're going to go over some of it. But more importantly, I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to inspire us today that if we will pray, God will move in such a way that we would see His glory and people's lives would be radically, fundamentally changed. That's what I'm after, amen. That's what I want to see happen in Tallahassee. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want people to walk in these doors or view online and say, look, these people actually believe there is a God, and the God they believe in actually shows up when they pray to Him. And that there's something real about their Christianity. How many would like your friends and people who are checking you out to look at you and say, that's a real Christian? Anybody besides me? Yeah. We want reality to fit in. It's not just this mystical faith that we have. Well, I believe in God and one day I'll die and go to heaven and live forever. You know, it's not just about eternity. It's about the here and now, ladies and gentlemen. And God gives us the opportunity to pray, to commune with Him, to come in contact with Him, not just to meet our physical needs or not just to give us what we want, but He wants to demonstrate His power and manifest His presence in and through our lives. And I want to talk to you about that because when I first became a Christian, see, I was raised in a Baptist church and would go to church and it was the most irrelevant thing I did. And I only did it because I had to. My parents made me go to church. And I remember my mother would say, I think one day you're going to grow up to be a preacher. I said, oh, God, not that. Because my idea was a preacher was some guy with a polyester three-piece suit on. And he was so heavy that if he coughed during the sermon, he'd shoot somebody with an errant bullet coming off his stomach. That was my idea of a pastor or a preacher. It's some irrelevant person who couldn't play football, who wasn't athletic, and you know, I would be one of those. And I thought, I'm just going to tolerate this stuff. But more importantly, I realized that we heard a lot about Jesus and what Jesus used to do, but there was nothing about what Jesus is doing now. And I would ask my mother, I said, why is it that these things in the Bible with the miracles and great and mighty things happening, healings, lepers being healed, blind eyes being opened, why don't we see that today? And she says, well, because those things have passed away. That's called cessationism, or a cessationist is someone who says these things have passed away. And I thought, well, it's odd. When I went to university, I realized that Jesus asked us to pray for those things that mysteriously have passed away. But He was still insisting that they could be a part of His kingdom here and now. And I remember I went to a Bible study, a little group on my campus at university. I was a football player, captain of the football team. One of my friends invited me there. It was maybe 40 or 50 students. And all I knew is these people knew God and had a relationship with God that I had no clue about. And when they prayed, their prayers were answered. That was a novelty, is that when you pray, that God actually shows up. Back in 2000, we moved from Brentwood, Tennessee to Auckland, New Zealand to plant a church in Auckland, and we started our church in our home. The kids will remember this. And the way our church got off was we had a couple that I met at the airport. This guy's name was Seta Liulavave. He was a Samoan guy. He had the biggest thighs in the world. I kid you not. He was standing there. He looked like the Incredible Hulk with thighs, and his calves were huge. I'm telling you. And I went over and started talking to him. I said, I worked with pro athletes back in the States. So he got the idea that I was a NFL recruiter wanting to, you know, contract him and give him a big contract and take him back to America. So I call him up and I said, would you come over to my house? He and his wife, Novaline, that was his wife's name, they came over to our home, and we hadn't even started the church. And they brought their children with them. They had three small children, and one little boy's name was Javon. Is that right? Dijon, excuse me. It was Dijon. He was only about 5 years old. And we did a Bible study with them, and it was amazing. The guy, Seda, he got saved. He got born again. He gave his life to Christ. And you know, I love this thing about newborn Christians. They are so dumb, they actually believe the Bible. He said, you know, hey, Pastor Ken, I was praying, and it says here, if we pray for people who are sick, that Jesus will heal them. Yes. I looked at him, and I said, yeah, that's right. He said, well, my son here is 5 years old. He has leukemia. He hasn't grown in 2 years. He weighs about 30 pounds. He's six years old. We believe that the God that saved us last week at your kitchen table is the same God who said, if you pray, that I will hear from heaven and I will do a miracle. Would you please pray, Pastor, for our little sick son, and God will hear you and he will heal our son. Yes. Now, what do you say to that? You say, yes, amen, close your eyes, let's pray. That's what I did. We laid our hands on Dijon's shoulders. He was a little guy. We prayed for him, and his wife was not a Christian at that point. We prayed for him, and we said goodnight. 2 weeks later, they show back up at our house. His wife, Novaline, she wants to get saved. She wants to get right with God because something had happened when they took their little son back to the doctor. The specialist checked him out and said, there's something strangely wrong because not only is he growing now in 2 weeks, he's gained a lot of weight. He grew like an inch or something in 2 weeks. He started putting on weight. They did a blood check, and miraculously, mysteriously, his juvenile system and the leukemia totally was gone, and he was absolutely totally healed. Amen. You know what he did? He said, now, I'm coming to your church. I said, we don't have a church. He said, well, whatever it is, I'm coming. And every Saturday night, guess what? He was our number one recruit bringing people to church. You know how he would say it? He said, come to a place where people pray and God hears. People pray and God shows up. And that's how we grew the church. He brought his best friend, and he got saved. He was a rugby player. And his wife got saved. And all of a sudden, people were getting saved and people were getting healed. And we knew we had to change things when we baptized 18 people one night, and we had 127 people sitting in our lounge. We needed to start a church. It wasn't because of outstanding preaching. It was because when we prayed, God showed up and manifested himself. Amen. Amen. That's what God wants for us here in Tallahassee. Yes. I haven't even started preaching yet. Anyway, let's go to our notes. Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives their name, and that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory and the strength with his power in the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. A little context here. Paul is in prison when he's writing this. This is one of the prison epistles where he's writing. And he's saying, God really wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to fill you with his power. He wants to fill you with his majesty. And I'm praying that what I have, it will leave this prison cell and it will descend upon you who are free out there in the city of Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus, that you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? It is by prayer that we make contact with God. Yes. It's by prayer that we connect with God. It is likewise through prayer that God communicates to us. Yes. Listen to me. I've talked to many people. They say, I want to hear the voice of God. Well, why don't you start praying? Cut off the TV, cut off your cell phone, get off Facebook or whatever you're on, and start praying to God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you. He will tell you things that will totally revolutionize your life. Can I tell you what? There's no place in the Bible where it says, Ken, take your family, sell your house, move to New Zealand and start a church. There's nowhere in it. I've already checked it. It's not in here. Yet God spoke to me through prayer. My wife and I were praying. In fact, we had a dream. We had dreams, and we were praying, and God spoke to us. You need to leave North America. You need to go plant a church. No one came and said you need to do it except God alone, and it came through prayer. Can I tell you what? We wouldn't have done that unless the Holy Spirit had quickened that to us through prayer. We wouldn't have heard that unless we had been praying. But through dreams and through intercession, God speaks. Can I tell you what? It is through prayer that we make contact with God. And it is likewise through prayer that he communicates back to us. Can I tell you something? God is wanting to talk to you today. He's wanting to tell you something, first of all, that he's real. Yeah. Not only is he real, he is alive. And he wants a relationship with you. And he is the same God that healed the sick yesterday. He can do it today. Amen. Amen. The same God that opened blind eyes, and you're going to hear a testimony today, can do it today. Amen. Amen. He is not limited by time and space. And people say, maybe you're watching, well, you know, that's, you know, I'm not sure if I believe in divine healings. Where you're too late, sunshine. It's already happening. It's already happening. Come on. God is in the business of not only saving souls, but he's also in the business of demonstrating his power and might. Yeah. He told his disciples, he said, if you believe in me and the works that I do, greater works than these, than you'll do. Yeah. Because I'm going to the Father. Well, he went, didn't he? And we're stuck with it. The greater works. We were meant to be laying hands on the sick. And, you know, when I went back to this little meeting, you know, I just realized, you know, I'm just going to pray and people will get saved. I'm going to believe God. I'm just going to trust God. I don't even know where the money's coming from. This is before I was married. My first missionary trip, I was going overseas to New Zealand and Australia back in 1988, before I was married. And I remember I had no money. Say no money. No money. I was so broke, I couldn't even pay attention. I mean, that's how bad it was. Yeah, I had no money, and God told me, he said, I want you to take a team of college students from the University of Florida and the University of Tampa. Pastor Franco Gennaro was our pastor there. I got a team from those two campus ministries that were going to New Zealand, Australia. And I took the money out of my savings and said, I'll use it for the ticket. It was $1,700 for the whole trip, for the airline, food, and room and board and everything, $1,700. Now, that doesn't sound like much today, but back in 1988, that was a lot. Punch your neighbor and say, that was a lot. That was a lot for me. Yeah. And so I said, God, I know you want me to go. So we took a team. We took a team of 11 people. We had two guys and nine women on my first team. In fact, my best men were women. Amen. It was amazing. When the girls have to help the guys with the luggage at the airport, you know you're in trouble. That's what our team looked like. And I thought, we get over there in New Zealand and it's really dark and they're wearing gothic and, you know, piercings everywhere. This was back in 1980. This was really, really dark, really, really gothic and really dark. And we prayed and God gave us a revival there. But I still had no money. I couldn't pay for the trip I was already on. Then we went to Australia. and went to Sydney, Australia, and I'm preaching one Sunday on the campus, and there's about 50 or 60 university students from Sydney Uni there, and I'm preaching, and there's this tall guy in the back. He was about 6'6", real skinny, and he comes forward at the end of the meeting and gets born again. He gives his heart to God. He says, I believe in God. I want to get saved. And so we pray for him, and he goes back. The next night we had another meeting. He comes back, and he went and got what he called his Christian outfit, because he came in with just, you know, street clothes. Then he came back with a coat now and some pants, but he had gone to like a Goodwill or an op shop to get the clothing. So his pants were high water. You know, he was 6'5", but he had these high waters on. And then he had this coat that looked like it was for a 14-year-old kid he was wearing. And he came and he joined the church. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. So I had to get on the plane to go to Melbourne to leave the country. And I'm there with the pastor. And he says, you know that big, tall guy? He was a drug dealer. That ex-drug dealer that got saved last week, he gave me an envelope and said, would you please give this to Ken before he leaves to go back to America? And he handed it to me, and the associate pastor's with him, sitting there, standing there at the airport, and I open up the envelope, and it is a check for $1,700, the exact amount to pay for my whole trip. Amen. And I told the pastor, and he started shouting and praising God. And the youth pastor, and he looked at the pastor and me, he goes, well, you know, that guy was a drug dealer. That's probably drug money. He said, that's dirty money. I said, don't you worry. We're going to pray over it and spend the hell out of it. Don't you worry. Can I tell you what? God answers prayers. Amen. God answers prayers. It took me a step of faith to step out and say, you know what, God, you are able to answer prayer. I want to make contact with you, God. You want to communicate with me. And he does it through prayer. He manifests his power in and through prayer. As Christians, we're called to present personal and individual needs to God in prayer, but at the same time, we're urged to intercede for all the body of Christ and the world at large. Biblical spirituality demands that we do not withdraw or isolate ourselves from the turmoil and what's going on in the world, but we identify with the world's problems in order to help establish God's rule and reign in the earth. See, we're not praying to get out of the problem. We're praying to go into the world and solve the problem with God's answers. Amen. So thank God he answers prayers. Thank God he meets your needs. But it's much bigger than that, ladies and gentlemen. He wants you to be the answer to somebody's prayer. He wants your life to be something that impacts this world and brings about his presence as you are his hands, his feet, his extension. Amazing. He wants to establish his rule and reign in the earth. In fact, prayer is fulfilling something we called the Great Commission, or the cultural mandate. The cultural mandate, say that, cultural mandate. What exactly is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Genesis chapter 1, God gives us the cultural mandate. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, God created man in his own image. We call it Imago Dei. It's Latin for the image of God. Can I tell you what? You're made in the image of God. You know what gives you value? It's not the color of your skin. It's not your education. It's not your bank account. It's the fact that you're made in the image of God. Yeah. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter where you came from. You are special because you carry God's image. You are an image bearer. Yeah. The Imago Dei. Yeah. He made them in his image. In his image, he made him. Both male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. So what are we meant to do? We're meant to fill the earth and multiply. We're meant to subdue the earth. We're meant to subdue the earth, and we're meant to take over the earth. We're meant to rule over the earth. How do we do that? Well, he's given us something. It's called his image. We fill the earth with God's image. We are image bearers. So wherever we go, we're meant to be representatives of God. We're meant to be image bearers of God. the Imago Dei goes with us. Recently, we moved here from Orlando, Florida, and I was out in our new subdivision, and there's a lot of workers and people out there. They're putting up new homes, and it's really going fast. But many times, workers will throw rubbish and plastic bottles and trash out in our neighborhood. So I walk around sometimes when I'm praying, and I'll walk around our neighborhood, and I'll pick up trash and rubbish. And I was on one of our streets, and I was picking up rubbish that was on the side of the sidewalk in our neighborhood, and this lady came out, and she said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, I am." She goes, "I knew it. I saw you pick up trash in our backyard the other day." I said, "There's a man of God right there." And I thought, you know, isn't this amazing? By just picking up rubbish in the neighborhood, someone thinks you're different. We need to be people that wherever we go, we're picking up the rubbish and the refuse of sin and degradation and discarding it. And people say, "Are you a follower of Jesus? I can tell because of what you're doing. You're getting rid of things that aren't to be here, shouldn't be here, that shouldn't be present in our culture. Your image bearing is changing our world." That's what prayer is meant to do, ladies and gentlemen. It's meant to get us in a position to be God's representatives and fill the earth and subdue it. Yes. Most of us want God's will to be done. We need God's will being done. How many know it's a pretty nervous time in our world right now? If you're following the news, it's very scary what's happening with Afghanistan. Literally thousands of people, American citizens, are stuck over there with no way of getting out, and it is not a pretty sight. We need to be praying. Yeah. Our world is in turmoil. Yeah. We're locked down with COVID. New Zealand, Australia, where we used to live, they are totally locked down now. People are not coming or going. You can't even leave your home in New Zealand because they're so afraid. We need God's will in our earth. Yeah. It's not going to happen because we worry and wrench our hands and say and fret and get all upset. No, it's only going to change if we pray and if we're God's instruments of change. God's will be done. The goal of prayer is not for us to be absorbed into God's being. I mean, I like the presence of God, and we're praying every Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to come out. We're not just going to come and soak and just be one with God. We're here to do business, kingdom business. We want to touch God, and we want God's presence, but we want to have God's marching orders too. It's not just to be absorbed into God's being, but for the transformation of the world and for the glory of God. We yearn for the blessed vision of God, but even more, we seek to bring the will of people and the will of the world into conformity with God's will and with God's purposes. We don't just pray for our own personal happiness or protection, but for the advancement and the extension of the kingdom of God. Thank God that He puts food on the table. Thank God that we have a roof overhead. Thank God the bills are paid. But I am not satisfied with that. I want His kingdom to come. I want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Yes. I mean, Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Don't worry about the food." He said, "Don't you know I feed the birds of the air? Look at the lilies of the field. I adorn them, and they're here today and dead tomorrow. Aren't you worth more than a sparrow? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Yeah. Why? Because through prayer, we get empowered to be the people of God, to be the emissaries of light in the world. Amen. Amen. We get to pick up the rubbish in the neighborhood, and people say, "There's a real Christian. There's a real follower of Jesus." Why? You're just picking up trash in society. Mm. God's will be done. Yeah. We pray that with the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done today on earth as it is in heaven." What would it look like if God's will was done in Tallahassee for one day? It would be great, wouldn't it? It would just God's will for one day, when people weren't selfish, they weren't looking out for their own selfish ambitions, they were concerned about others. What would this city look like if people were other-minded and God-minded for just one day? We can't fathom it. Psalms 5:3 says this: "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayers to you and eagerly watch for your answer." Early in the morning, before the demands of the day, before the distractions of the day, I will get up and I will pray and I'm going to watch to hear your answer and see your answer. Psalms 32:6 says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. What does that mean? It means there are times where there are opportune times when we can pray and we can touch heaven by praying to God. Then there are times where life is very hectic and it's an emergency situation. And then we fall on our knees and thinking, where's God? In fact, most Christians in North America, they pray only when there's an emergency. Only when there's a catastrophe. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help. I remember when Jesus went up to the mountain of transfiguration and he came back down and his disciples were trying to get this young boy who was demon-possessed, get him delivered, and he was throwing himself into the fire and the water. You remember the story. And they said, Jesus, we prayed all night. We couldn't get this young boy delivered. And what did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith, this kind comes out only through prayer and fasting. And so what did Jesus do? He went back up the mountain and pray? No. He said, bring the boy to me. And he cast the devil out of the boy. Totally healed. Why? Because Jesus lived a prayed up life. He lived a fasted life. He didn't say, give me 2 hours to go intercede. No, he had already been praying in the mountain. Every morning he would slip away and he would pray to God the Father. And he was fully God and fully man. He could have done it without it, but he knew that prayer was the optics by which we needed to fashion our life after when he left. So he did it for a manner and a pattern for us to follow. And he would slip away and he would pray. And he said, bring the boy to him. And he cast the devil out and the boy was in his right mind. He didn't have to go away and say, well, let me fast. I'm going to fast here. He had already fasted. He lived a fasted life. He lived a prayed life. We have to be that way, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray in the time when he hears and he may be found. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. When you pray, God delights in you. Why? Because you're actually saying, God, I need you. I need help. I need a supernatural intervention. You know, sometimes God says, that's exactly what I wanted to hear from you. You know, we think we can do a good job being our own gods, but when life really starts bearing down on us and the pressure of this world starts bearing down on us, we realize we're not very good gods. We need a real God who can answer our prayers, who can intervene in time and space and bring about what we call miraculous change. And God wants us to be those kind of people that pray and live the prayed up life and ready for these issues because they're going to come. They're going to happen to us. The sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination, but the prayer of the upright are his delight. Let's talk about the benefits of a life of prayer. What are some of the benefits of when we pray, when we are disciplined in prayer? Number one, in prayer we learn to depend on God and not ourselves. We depend on God and ourselves. Psalms 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. I'm going to get with God. Yes. I'm going to pray with God. Yes. You know, sometimes we have to get to the point where the only option we have is God, unless you come through, we're going to fall flat on our face. Amen. And not long ago, we were in that situation with our grandma Emily. My mother-in-law, she's sitting on the front row. Raise your hand, Grandma Emily. She had kidney failure, and she was under dialysis for many months in Sarasota. Quite frankly, we thought we were going to lose her several times. And they had to put her on dialysis. And if you know anything about that, ask a nurse or a doctor. It is not a fun trip. And you have to go and filter your blood 2 or 3 times a week. And then you recover a day, and by the time you recover, you have to go back in. It is no way to live. And we understood that we better save her this time because we don't know what's going to happen. And so we moved her down here, and we started praying. Said, God, we know this is not medically likely, but we're going to pray that you would heal her kidneys so she wouldn't have to go through this arduous thing called dialysis. And we started praying and believing God, laid hands on her, prayed with her. And lo and behold, we took her back to the specialist. He goes, oh, you know, you don't have to come back twice this week. Come back just next week, and your numbers are so good. Then we bring her back a week later. They check her numbers. They're even better. And he says, you know what? Come back next week, and we'll evaluate it. And the following week, we come back. He goes, you know what? We don't have to do dialysis at all. We can take this shunt out of your body. You don't have to come see us anymore. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? That is when God shows up through prayer. Come on, give God a hand clap. Isn't that great? She's sitting on the front row. On the front row. She's the one up here dancing during praise and worship while you're back there picking your teeth. She's alive in God. And why? Because she understands only God could do this. And it happened through prayer. It happened through prayer. In prayer, we learn to depend on God. God can provide healing. He can pull miracles. Miracles are no big deal for God. Number two, in prayer, we're filled with God's presence. In prayer, we're filled with God's presence. Exodus 34 says this: when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets on the testimony on his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. They knew he was with God. There's something that will come on your life when you understand when I pray, God will hear my prayers. My prayer is that the people of Tallahassee who are desperate, they say, I come to Every Nation Tallahassee, God will hear my prayers because those people believe in the God that they say they serve. I love it. In prayer, God directs us concerning his will for our lives. You say, what's God's will for my life, for your wife? And I don't know what it is for your wife, but I know for your life, he will let you know if you get on your knees. Amen. We get our marching orders through prayers. Can I tell you what? We live in Tallahassee, Florida. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, would I live in Tallahassee, Florida? I said, no way. Not because I don't like it, but because we were living in Dallas, Texas, and I was doing a lot of other things that I didn't even conceive of coming here. But God, through prayer, directed us to be here. We're not here because of any other thing except God told us to come here, and I'm so glad he did, and I'm so glad we heard him. He will direct us. Acts 13:2 says, while they were praying and worshiping the Lord in fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've set them apart to do. So it was through prayer that these men were directed, through prayer. In prayer, God strengthens us against adversity. Anybody here ever had adversities or trials you had to face? Yeah, I think we all have. That's why I like what James says. He said, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is going to produce something in you. So when adversity comes, prayer is the thing that strengthens us. David said he was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him in 1 Samuel verse 30. And each one of them were bitter in their own spirit because their sons and daughters were taken captive. But David found strength in the Lord his God. What happens, David is going off to fight the Amalekites, and when he's gone, the Philistines come and they take their wives and daughters. So when he comes back with all these mighty warriors, they see their families have been taken off by the Amalekites, and they want to kill David. You're not much of a leader. And the Bible said he went away and prayed and found strength in the Lord. How many know when everybody wants to kill you that it'd be a good thing to go pray somewhere else? David did that, and he found strength in the Lord. In prayer, we find our breakthrough for deliverance and victory. In prayer, we find breakthrough in deliverance and victory. Now, I just want to bring a testimony up here. This is amazing. But Ashley Dew, would you come on up here? And Zoe, would you come up here? This was not rehearsed, but it was so perfect because Ashley was over at our house the other day, she and Ben, and telling us about how they had prayed for Zoe for some physical healing, and It's just so miraculous. I was amazed to hear it. I said, we've got to hear this in the church. So set it up for them. Tell them what happened. And then, Zoe, you tell everyone how God healed you.
Okay. So just this summer, it was actually on my heart. Here, I'll stay in the middle. It was on my heart, and I was praying for the campuses. I was praying for FAMU, and I was praying for FSU, and I felt God specifically put the sororities at FSU on my heart. And 2 weeks later, about a week or two, we meet Zoe at ENC, and God's just been radically changing her world and just getting to know her. And so we actually got to take her on a camp. And so that last night was a night of prayer and healing. So go ahead, Zoe.
Okay, absolutely. This is a little scary, but all right.
You're going to do great.
Here we go. Okay, so yeah, I'm Zoe. For those of you who don't know, I was actually born totally blind. And the doctors did corrective surgery in my right eye, but they said, we can't save your left eye, and we cannot give you, you will never have depth perception or peripheral vision. So I actually grew up going to Florida School for the Deaf and Blind in St. Augustine, learned Braille, how to use a cane, and I actually found this amazing youth group there as well. But as I came to college, unfortunately, I found myself just turning away from God, going out partying every night, and actually almost like running from God. And then I met ENC, and I want to take this opportunity really quick just to thank ENC, thank the people, all of you guys here at ENC, and thank God for putting me here in ENC. I met ENC, yes, absolutely. And then after I met ENC, I found myself actually turning away from the sin and running towards God. And I really started seeking him, seeking obedience. And it got to the point where I was like, hey, like, Jesus is Lord. And and then, I got the opportunity to go to this camp, which was absolutely amazing. Feel so blessed that I got to go there. And, yeah, we had the night of talking about prayer and more specifically healing through prayer. And actually, Ashley put her hands on me and prayed for me and asked God to heal me. Everyone in the room was praying, and it was absolutely incredible, like the feeling of the Holy Spirit in that room that night. And that peripheral vision that the doctors told me, like, you'll never have. They actually told my mom, like, they used the word impossible. They said, due to this eye condition that she has, she does not physically have the muscles in her eye to give her peripheral vision. And that night, God healed me and gave me that peripheral vision. quite literally, I see everything in a different perspective now. I don't know, it's like, it's amazing because this summer, like, God radically changed me spiritually, mentally, and physically. And because of that, like, I praise God.
Amen. No, just stay up here for a second. Now, here's a young lady who doesn't have peripheral vision. She got prayed for with Ashley at the camp. And tell me if this is true, but they said that you stayed up for 30 minutes looking in the mirror at your face saying, I actually have freckles. Yes. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
That was the first
time. Zoe came up to me, she said, I have freckles. I didn't know. And she looked at my face. She's like, you look different too. I said, I hope that's a good thing. Then she runs to the balcony and comes back to my room and says, come here. I have to ask you if this is the moon. And the night before, we had literally been on the beach at night. And I said, Zoe, like, I want you to see if you can see the moon. She's like, I can't. So that was the night before it. It was a full moon. So then that night, Zoe said, come here. I need to know. And so we went out. I was like, that's the moon. That is the moon. Like, and it was incredible. Just, wow, God gave perception, depth perception, and peripheral. It was amazing.
Hallelujah. Yeah. God bless you. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Oh, golly. We didn't plan that either. And Zoe came back early. We're so glad you did, Zoe. It's really exciting. And you know what? You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a priest. All you have to do is be a believer. And you can lay hands on the sick. What did Jesus say? If you believe, you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Not might, they will recover. You can cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, speak in tongues. These signs will follow those who believe. You say, well, I don't believe. Well, you won't be bothered with it. It's only for believers. It's only for believers. If you believe, Because God lives in you, the same power that touched Zoe through Ashley and the team. You can move in that kind of power. Let me tell you what, that is the kingdom of God. And that's why we need to pray. And every Wednesday night, we're going to be here at 7 o'clock. We start at 7, we'll close at 8:30. But I want to invite everyone, if you want to get serious about God, and serious about God moving in your life, come and pray with us on Wednesday night. We're going to see God change this city, change lives, see healings, miraculous things like you've heard. And if you join us, I believe God will change you. I want us to stand together. We're going to close here. You know, I changed up the message because I felt like there were people here who really needed a jolt that God is real and God can still do everything he did when he walked on the earth. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're here today and you say, Ken, there's something wrong with my body. There's a physical abnormality. There's an illness. There's a defect. But I think the God that you're talking about, it's no big deal for him. And I want to trust him. And I'd like to be prayed for. And I'd like to walk out of here healed. I'd like to walk out here like Zoe. I can see again. I can see the moon. I can see my face. I want to be like Emily, who says, I don't have to be on medical devices to survive. I believe the God of heaven and earth can still do what he did and what he said he wants to do with me. We're going to have our ministry team come forward. If you're on the ministry team, please make your way to the front. And if you need healing in your body, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to trust God to heal you. There's somebody here, I believe it's a woman. There's a lady here that you're having problem with your back and your legs. You lose sensation and feelings in one of your legs. They get numb. I believe God wants to touch your body, and he wants to align that misalignment in your vertebrae so that you don't have that abnormality anymore. I believe there's something there. There's somebody else who has a problem with your digestion. That God, I believe God wants to touch that, and he wants to heal that, where you can eat normally and not feel nauseous and sick to your stomach. I believe God wants to touch your body. But whatever it is, whatever your prayer need is, when we finish praying, please make your way to the front, and God is going to touch you, and God is going to heal you. I believe that. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that you want us to be a people who believe in the supernatural and walk in the supernatural. Father, we believe your word that says if you would pray in my name, these mountains would move. And Lord, we thank you that people have mountains that can be moved. They don't have to live in those areas anymore, but Lord, they can get those obstacles out of their life. So Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that as we intercede, Lord, prayer is fulfilling that cultural mandate for us to be salt and light in the earth. So Lord, I pray that for us as a people. Lord, I pray people would start discipling other people. Lord, I pray people would start going to small groups. I pray people would begin to step out of their little isolation and begin to talk to people about you and invite them along to a Bible study or to a small group. God, I'm praying that you would bring revival to our land. Lord, you would touch people and restore hearts. And we thank you for your power. We thank you for the power of prayer. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all for coming. Thank you for joining us online. If you need prayer, please make your way up to the front. Our prayer team will pray for you. God bless.